All right, welcome back. Episode 28, Sports Talk for Fans by Fans. Brian here. We're going to bring you the NBA segment, post-free agency chaos draft in the NBA, and discuss and break down our opinions, some of the moves, and kind of our initial reaction to it as kind of part one of our offseason talk for the NBA. Part one of, I don't know how many we'll do, but we'll see based on how the information we get. So I got Tejas here with me. Tejas, how are you doing?
Doing good, Brian.
All right, and we got a surprise third member, dragged Alex over from the football to talk a little basketball, since I know he's got a ties to the Memphis Grizzlies, so you know, get his input on what he thinks of some things that are happening. So, Alex, how you doing?
Doing great tonight.
All right, so let's get right into this. Draft, I think, happened, what, like Thursday, then we went to free agency, and we went through that whole allegedly no tampering window, which it's a debatable, but we open up to the free agency, but kind of recapping back to the draft. Actually, I want to go back before that, Tejas. I want to ask you a question. On our first podcast together, you had us throwing money out on the Bucks. Well, at least you recommended that, you know, that was a smart bet. So since you did recommend that Bucks starting from round one to win the whole thing, did you ever put money on them to win it? Or would you end up just making an office bet? Like, what did you end up doing with that?
So I did have a small amount of at the start of the playoffs for them to win. It was kind of almost negligible. I think I got like 5-1 on it. So, you know, I won maybe about $50. So nothing huge to – that's not what I'm going to retire on. But I do have a pride bet with my boss on the Bucks-Brooklyn series for like a really high-end bottle of whiskey. He hasn't paid it yet, but he keeps promising that it's coming. But that one, I'm just going to put that on my desk and stare at it in pride. And I do feel like I got pretty damn lucky in that series. But
Either way, it's a good way to start the podcast by actually being right on your predictions, unlike me, which I was, I think, fairly wrong on most of them. So at least one of us did well on that.
You got the finals, though, man. I took the Suns. I reversed it. And so you were, did you say Bucks in seven?
I think it was six or seven. I think it was seven was the initial. I kind of doubted myself when the Suns went up 2-0, to be honest. I was just like, oh, well, here we go again. Tay just being right on the Suns and me being wrong on everything. So I squeaked one of them out, at least, I guess. Let's talk about the draft. So the draft was it was interesting, but before draft night started, which we'll get to the draft in a second, we had one of the big trades that happened, probably maybe still the biggest trade of the offseason. We get the Lakers and Wizards making a swap. Lakers getting Westbrook, a 2024 second-round pick, a 2028 second-round pick. Okay, whatever. Wizards get Kyle Kuzma, who apparently the Lakers were going out of the way to get rid of Kyle Kuzma. They threw in Harrell, KCP, which I kind of a head-scratcher to me because I think he's kind of like a LeBron boy. He's the kind of defender, three-point shooter that they needed that they kind of don't have now. And Wizards got a first-round pick, Isaiah Jackson. So quickly, just quick reactions. Tejas, who do you think won that trade with your quick reaction?
Probably Washington. And kind of, I like the it's hard to talk about it without the kind of follow-up stuff that's been done. But, you know, right. I just don't think Westbrook's the best complement to LeBron. You know, just someone that shoots, you know, so poorly. And, you know, it's kind of the thing where I think Westbrook is going to kind of be the high usage guy in the regular season. And then in the playoffs, that's going to need to change to LeBron. And whether that goes seamlessly will be kind of what I'm very curiously looking forward to.
Yeah. Alex, do you agree or disagree with that comment?
I do, but this also, when you kind of think on deeper than the surface, kind of look at it this way, because I've had the time to actually think about this. We obviously know that Westbrook and LeBron are different type of ball handlers, but you also have to think about this, that if this doesn't work out, we know the media is going to crucify or hurt Russell Westbrook to say it was his fault, when the truth is these guys don't really work that well with each other. They're just two different types of players to dominate the ball. I have heard before a couple of years ago when they were trying to get guys to come to the Lakers that LeBron was looking for somebody to be the ball primary ball handler while he played off the ball. But LeBron James is probably one of the best decision makers in NBA history with the ball. So I don't see how that's going to work out. So you take away LeBron's best skill to let Westbrook dominate the ball. So it's a head scratcher to me.
That's a great point. And I just want to throw out really quickly, if you go back in time, can you find another person that's been paired off with better talent in their career in NBA history? Because Westbrook has been with KD. He's been with Bradley Beal. He's been with James Harden. And he's been with LeBron now in AD. Is there a person out there that has been with better talent that has not succeeded? Tejas, can you think of one?
I can't think of anyone. And, you know, really those Oklahoma City teams, you think about, you know, knowing what we know now, how little, you know, like the Harden Durant Westbrook team, man, Westbrook really should have just had a backseat to those two guys and how good
exactly
those teams have been. If, you know, Durant was kind of the primary playmaker.
Yeah. So we'll talk, kind of what Tej just said later. We'll talk about what the Lakers did as a whole and see if it makes more sense. But I'm anti everything going on. Because the big thing is, I think they have four people over the age of 35. And I think me and Tej just already talked about how we feel physically at our age. And it's just kind of, that's hard to expect them to, it's hard to expect them to survive an 82 game season. So before the playoffs start.
I love Alex's point that LeBron is bringing Westbrook in as the ultimate fall guy. Understanding that he's aging and that the media is going to blame somebody.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. GM LeBron is a genius to deflecting all blame.
Two steps ahead of everybody else.
Exactly. So, because you know who they're going to sign next, right? J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith is coming next. Because that's your double fall guy. The guy can't even go the right direction. But anyways, let's go to the draft. First three picks we had in the draft, I think were pretty solid. We kind of knew what was going on. The Pistons getting Cade Cunningham in Oklahoma State, point guard, 6'8", 220, phenomenal talent. Rockets getting Jalen Green, the shooting guard, and the Cavs getting Evan Mobley. Before I move on from this, I'll direct this one to Alex. Are you confused by the Cavs drafting Evan Mobley? And I'm getting ahead of myself here, but they also signed Jarrett Allen. Is that kind of a head scratcher to you, Alex? Is that kind of a weird situation? Because I thought it was weird when I saw that.
When Evan Mobley was drafted, I didn't think it was a head scratcher. I was like, okay, maybe Jerry Allen's going to be gone. Maybe they do a sign a trade for him or something like that. And then when they kind of re-signed him, I was like, oh, okay. Well, I don't know where this is going. I can see from a simple fact that, hey, when you're a bad team like the Cavs, it doesn't matter if you're too good at center or you have two decent stars at centers. You just need talent. It's an asset grabber when you're a bad team. Maybe Mobley might not be on your team in a year. Maybe you might trade him, or maybe you might trade Jared Allen at the trade deadline. But, I mean, when you're a bad team, you got to get as much good talent as you show. But, obviously, Mobley's going to be the future. I mean, just from the draft. You don't draft a guy third overall and think about getting rid of him in a year or so. So, I think Jared Allen might be more expendable when you talk about moving pieces later.
But what about Kevin Love? Anyways.
Yeah, he's expendable. I thought he was going to get traded last year, but, I mean, he's more expendable now. I don't know. Maybe he might go to the Lakers. Maybe LeBron needs another guy.
Jesus. Is there a better demonstration of not being needed than Kevin Love being replaced by JaVale McGee and JaVale McGee being productive on the Team USA team? Like, have you been watching the Olympic Games, Tejas?
I haven't been watching the Olympics. So, you know, I think I saw highlights of I forget if it was Australia or France, but one of those teams just taking it to Team USA, and I was
France, I think. Yeah, it was just Kevin Love got injured and JaVale McGee replaced him, and McGee ended up looking like a star, so it was just really confusing. So Kevin Love's days are numbered, I think. But after the top three picks, there was a head scratcher by everyone. Scotty Barnes out of my Florida State, another high Florida State player drafted again with minimal starting experience, which maybe goes to Leonard Hamilton's credit out of the Florida State program with how well he's turned that team around. It's kind of like Florida State football has taken a backseat to Florida State basketball, which whatever. I guess we're good at one thing. So What did you think about Scotty Barnes going number four overall instead of some of the other picks that a lot of people had projected to go to the number four? Tejas, what did you think about that one? And also the future of SICOM?
Yeah, no, it was interesting. You know, most people had this as like a four-per tier. Like the tier one was, you know, Cunningham, Green, Mobley, and Suggs. And so a lot of people were kind of surprised with the Barnes pick. Yeah, you got to give Masai Ujiri kind of the benefit of the doubt with that he's smarter than most people, most media, myself, you know. The background on Scotty Barnes is like a teammate is that he's like, you know, really super intelligent player, very pass first, very team first. So, you know, I think he does have, you know, really good upside. The jump shot maybe isn't there yet, but then if that comes along, you have a really good, complete kind of player. And so I think that they maybe like that better than, you know, Suggs. But, it is kind of a somewhat awkward fit in that he's kind of a 3-4, and, you know, you're already pretty crowded there with Ananobi and Siakam. So I don't know if that means future moves, but, you know, in general, you know, maybe they had a feeling that Lowry was leaving and, you know, they're really just trying to go best player available and not kind of, you know, fill out the roster at this point.
Yeah, that makes sense. Outside of those top three picks, Alex, was there a team that you think that did the best outside of the top three picks with the selection they made?
You know what? I like what the Warriors did with Kuminga. We already know they got, like, you know, definitely Hall of Famers on their team. I mean, they're set at point and shooting guard. You know, they took Wiseman last year at center. They still got Draymond Green somehow. The only thing they kind of needed was some wing players, and I drafted Kuminga. I really like Kuminga. He's a 6'8" player, wing, that could definitely run, which is something they definitely need. Somebody could get out there, kind of play that kind of wing space, play, be a better defender, kind of be out there waiting when they're ready to pass the ball, shoot some threes. So I like what they did. I don't know how a team like that got the seventh overall pick when they're so stacked, but you also have to think about the fact, you know, the trades they've been making. But, I mean, good gracious, the rich get richer.
Yep. Tejas, do you have a team that you thought had a steal or a best selection outside the top three?
You know, I might be stealing Alex's thunder, but I actually liked what Memphis did. You know, basically they had that trade before the draft that swapped 17 and 10. And then at 10, they took Zaire Williams, who, you know, some people kind of, I think, projected that as a bit of a reach, but I'm actually pretty high on him. He's he played with LeBron's son, you know, basically at Sierra Canyon. And but then had 1 year at Stanford, and it wasn't like a, you know, super impressive year at Stanford. He kind of had some growing pains, but it was also kind of a weird team, and just like they were on lockdown, they couldn't get into their practice facilities and stuff. But basically, he's someone that I just see really high upside. He's like 6'8", 6'9", super athletic, you know, can guard 1 through 4. You know, probably eventually 1 through 5 when he gets stronger. So, you know, I think he has a good jump shot that's going to come along. So I see him as super versatile, and then someone that super, you know, can really match well with John Morant playing a fast pace, and someone that can also match with Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, kind of giving them two super long athletic shot blockers that can really defend well. So I think he's a good fit and someone that just kind of at 10 had like high upside. As far as just a really good athlete that, you know, give him a couple of years to see what you can build.
Alex, being the Grizzlies fan, so instead of talking about the draft, how do you feel about that trade initially? Because initially when I saw the trade losing, you know, Big V, like I was kind of shocked just because I thought how much value he had to that team. Like what do you think about that trade after seeing the draft selections? Are you happy with the trade as a Grizzlies fan?
So the pick wasn't that bad when you look – it wasn't bad when you look at it individually. The problem is kind of what the seeds of the pick was. You got to understand that they basically used Marcus Gasol, which is probably one of the greatest players in their franchise, to go get Big Val, turn Val into something where he's a 20-10 guy, and he's probably real reason why they made the playoffs because Jaren Jackson was hurt the entire season. And then you kind of trade your second best player I don't, especially in a small market. There aren't many small markets that are happy when you trade the second best player on your franchise. Obviously, the reason they did it because they want to get themselves a wing guy who could definitely run with Jaren Jackson, Roman Jaw, so he could kind of grow with them. Similar to like Michael Jordan, them drafting Scottie Pippen when you think about that. The problem is that I believe just like the rest of the draft experts, I thought you could have got Zaire at 17 and or somebody similar to him at 17. Even though Zaire kind of beginning of the year, everyone said he was going to be a top five pick. So he's technically a top five talent. But the thing about it is you probably could get someone close to that talent, maybe at 17. And also you could have kept your second best player on your franchise, but it's the fight of being a small franchise, a small market. You can't afford to keep a lot of these players. So you're getting near the cap. You have to start training players to start moving things. They're going to have to sign Jaren Jackson here pretty shortly next year. Then you talk about Josh. So money is always a situation with that. But when that trade happened, the whole city absolutely hated it. I mean, everybody in the city hated it. And I'd say half the city is about split on the Zaire Williams pick. So simple fact is, hey, you got a top five caliber player who went to 10, and then half the people say, hey, you got a guy who should be at 17, you draft him at 10. So it's kind of one of those fan bases up in the air things.
Alex, how do you think Valanciunas is going to fit with Zion?
You know what? Until New Orleans start making really weird decisions this offseason, we'll go back with it. I would have said that would tip to them to be the team to go to the playoffs over the Grizzlies. But New Orleans, I don't know what their front office is doing. So I'm pretty sure that even though he would have probably helped Zion out where he doesn't have to do some of the interior workload, I think now's the situation, especially how their roster looking right now. Now, I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs either.
Yeah, I think the way they want to use Zion is weird. It's like almost like the Anthony Mason model from what I've seen in the past. Like he's going to be the point forward. So I guess in a way it makes sense to have Big V there, but man, like when Alex is talking about, you went from your best player in the history of Bryant Reeves. Is that his name? Marc Gasol. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I had to do that. Marc Gasol going from Marc Gasol to Steven Adams. It's kind of like quite the drop off. As much as I love Steven Adams as a player, is like a just what he does, but that's just seeing those names. Like, it's hard for me to even look at those picks being swapped. Just seeing those names, it just hurts me just looking at, because as an Oakland A's fan for baseball, I understand small market pain. And this is exactly, even though it's two small market teams trading with each other, but it just hurts seeing stuff like this happen. Like, it hurt me watching this happen. Let's move on. Okay, so is there a pick that you saw, Tejas, outside of, well, is there a pick in the whole draft that you saw that you thought was the most confusing or just didn't make any sense or isn't going to work for the team? Is there one that stood out for you?
I'd say maybe the Josh Primo. And, again, I'm relying on other people as far as where they projected him. He went number 12 to the San Antonio. A lot of people didn't have him in top 20, or some people didn't even have him in the first round. The Spurs just in general are a team that I really not quite sure what they're doing. And Primo is someone that I'm not sure if he's like a great Popovich guy. So that just seemed like an awkward pick to me. He's kind of still has a lot of raw elements to his game. And I don't see him as having as big upside as some of the other guys that were still available at that pick, like someone that's a lot more polished, for example, like a Moses Moody, who Golden State took at 14.
Alex, what about you? Did you have one?
Yeah, Franz Wagner to the Magic. I understand the Magic, they made maybe more of my more favorite picks with Jalen Suggs. I think Suggs is going to be the best player out this draft. I'm just saying it. I love that guy's game. And then they turned around at 8. You have two top 8 picks, and he took Franz Wagner. I liked him as a college player. I don't really see him too much being a great NBA player. I think his upside is he's young, which most of these players are young. I think he could develop a little bit into his game more. And maybe Orlando's banking on the fact that he's going to develop. And there's a good chance he's going to develop. But that was one I went, okay, where are you going with this one? I thought there were better players they could have took based off of that. But who knows? We always not like certain picks, and 2-3 years later, it turns around, they're really good. And maybe I don't like Wagner because I didn't like Mo Wagner. So maybe it's just me hating on his brother before it came
It's hard to put that aside.
Yeah. So that might go in it.
That's exactly, yeah. Unfortunately, that's kind of what I linked together, and I was like, it's not going to be much better. So I don't know. I mean, he made Vucevic be very productive, so I don't know. But different type of player, out of Germany. So I don't know. Yeah, I thought that, to me, that was kind of a weird one. But all right, let's move on. So getting into the free agency part of everything, we're going to kind of just quickly recap and kind of go through some of the contracts that were made. All right, so let's start with the Suns. Some of the big moves the Suns made. Chris Paul, 4 years, $120 million. He's 36 years old. You guys think that's kind of a risky move being at that age? I know you got to pay Chris Paul for his greatness, but what do you guys think about that one? Tejas, you want to go first?
Yeah, no, I think they had to pay him. I didn't think he had an option, and if that's what he wanted, then you just got to do it. Sarver, probably for 15 years or whatever, Suns fans have been, blaming him for ending 7 seconds or less. So, he has the money. It's they have a small window because Chris Paul is pretty old, but at least you got a couple more years of, being in the championship mix.
Yeah, they locked in Cameron Payne, his backup, for 3 years, $19 million. So I think that's a great value signing with how well he played. Miami, they had Jimmy Butler working on his max contract extension. I think it's supposed to be 4 years, $184 million. Adding Kyle Lowry at 3 years, $90 million. He's currently 35 years old. So once again, another old point guard. Duncan Robinson, 5 years, $90 million. Thoughts on that? Are you guys okay with Duncan Robinson? Because when I looked up his metrics, yes, he shoots threes very well, but outside of that, he doesn't do much very well. Alex, do you like that move?
I'm not crazy about Duncan Robinson, but he's an asset. He's good enough to keep, but they'll pay for it later. They'll end up probably trading him in a year or two, but they at least got his rights to maybe be able to move, maybe trade and get something better. They obviously needed Jimmy Butler. We talked about the Kyle Lowry thing. He's not worth that money, but it's one of those things, the NBA, you lose a player, you don't really get anything for him. It's not really even worth trying to not sign him. So you sign them, keep the asset, and then down the road, somebody else is going to want them or need them. Then you just move the player.
And Tejas, you ready to jump on the Heat bandwagon this year with your boy PJ Tucker signing 2 years, $15 million? You excited about that move?
I'm all in. And, just come on. If you put the NBA championship trophy in an alley, the Heat are walking away with it with these guys that they got. I mean, it's just did you see drunk PJ Tucker at the championship, by the way? We're dogs.
No, I didn't.
Oh, he was, it was fantastic. Like, he just was basically saying, I'm a dog. I came here to be a dog, but we have dogs. And it was just, I just love everything about, PJ Tucker, and he's just going to fit in well with this team. And I think it's going to be honestly, they were soft last year. In the first round, there were plays where it was like a Bobby Portis offensive rebound against the Heat in the first series. It was like Duncan Robinson was boxing him out. Tyler Hero was boxing PJ Tucker out, and these guys just were eating him alive. So, I think that they definitely have swung that toughness metric back. To your point about Duncan Robinson, just in general with this how this free agency has played out, it really just seems like the cap doesn't matter anymore with teams getting so fuzzy about bird rights and things like that, or these winning teams, guys are really willing to just kind of take 1 year prove it deals or something where they just want to be in the championship mix and then think they'll get their money later or something. So, you know, point being though, with the Heat, you know, you wouldn't think that, you know, they could sign Kyle Lowry, sign Robinson to huge money, sign Jimmy Butler to huge money, and also get guys like PJ Tucker that can help them win a championship. But it's, you know, again, it's goofy things with bird rights and, you know, that basically, you know, so to the point that I don't think there's too much downside, you know, in signing Duncan Robinson, because they were kind of committed to paying, you know, going over the cap and paying luxury tax anyways. And exactly what Alex was saying too, if he doesn't work out good or something, then they can just flip that contract and continue to pay some other guy with making a huge contract that has talent. If Duncan Robinson's not getting the job done for him.
That's the crazy thing, when for the people that don't understand cap, and I love talking cap for all sports, and basketball is the most odd cap situation of all sports. Cause you have, I think of the 30 teams, 22 of them are negative in the cap, maybe even 26 or 27 of them are negative in the cap for how much money they actually have, and how much they're even projected to have. I think it's like, you know, obviously Oklahoma City Thunder have some money. The Spurs have some money, but outside of that, there's not many teams that have money. Some teams are like into negative $80 million on their cap, because it's exactly what you're talking about, Tate, just the bird level rights, the mid-level exceptions. But the weird thing is, this is the year, and you're going to see this more and more every year now until there's a change. You're going to see all these sign and trades, because teams understand that it's better to do a sign and trade to get something of value, because you can take on money through trades. You can sign extensions and be over the cap, but you cannot sign a free agent while you're over the cap. So you'll never see a team sign free agents unless they actually have cap space, which I think is a thing of the past. Like, it may be team is like the last real team that actually signed free agents. Cause is there another team since then that literally signed their big name free agents other than signing trades and stuff like that? Cause I can't think of one. Can you guys?
Yeah, no, offhand, I can't think of anybody. And, you know, another thing with like Miami, you know, they signed like Oladipo for a real cheap 1-year deal. And if he pans out, then, you know, they have the bird rights for him. So, you know, they could keep him for a $25 million contract next year or something if he actually comes back healthy. So, you know, and then, you know, similar Nets are the same way. It's like, how the hell are they getting Patty Mills and, you know, other guys that we're going to talk about. So it's frustrating. And that it's like the rich really are getting richer between, you know, this cap, you know, hooey, and then, you know, these buyouts.
Yeah. Did Toronto, did they do a sign and trade for Kawhi over to the Clippers, or did Kawhi just straight walk?
He straight walked. And, you know, because that was basically with the wait in free agency, and then just signed on the dotted line in free agency. And so nothing went back to Toronto. I was thinking about the irony of kind of like how weird that free agency was two years ago or whatever, where like everyone was just waiting for Kawhi to sign, and the opposite of it, like how funny would it have been at this year if like Kawhi had floated that he might be open to other teams to see who else wouldn't have like spent money. But you know, it's because there was a real weird year where basically they announced free agency, but just like Lakers were keeping their cap open. All these other teams were keeping their cap open until they act like anyone heard from Kawhi.
Yeah.
And the funny thing, I don't know if you guys heard, but apparently the story that leaked out, I believe it was yesterday. Obviously, you know, Kawhi went to the Clippers to try to see if they could get Paul George to get traded to go to the Clippers, so he'd sign with the Clippers. He originally, I guess, talked to Russell Westbrook first. And I guess Russell Westbrook called him and talked to him about trying to do that. And apparently for what happened is Kawhi decided to talk to Paul George instead and had Paul George force his way to do a trade before Russell Westbrook. So this kind of cold-blooded.
I like it. Hey, Russ, can you put Paul George on the phone for a minute? Just want to talk to him for a second.
just cheating, just stealing waves and stuff. So, all right, going down the list, let's go down to the Utah Jazz. I think one of the big thing we talked about today, just when they got eliminated, is they need Mike Conley so bad. And I know Alex probably knows Mike Conley better than anyone, being a former person from his team, and I think he has great respect for misses probably, but I think the Jazz are so keyed in on shooting threes and not doing much else that having Mike Conley and And they added, who did they add? They added, they're Rudy Gay, I think, for 2 years, $12 million also, something like that. So, bringing Conley back, I think, you know, is a great thing for the Jazz. We mentioned the Cavs, Jared Allen already, 5 years, $100 million. We'll move on because we already kind of made our inputs. The Blazers locked up Powell. They got the trade from the Raptors, 5 years, $90 million. Since he's being locked up, you think, what do you guys want to put a percentage on Dame staying there? Because now they have Powell. They have, you know, Powell's a good third option, I believe, to CJ McCollum and to Dame. And you guys want to get throw out a percentage of chances that he stays with the Blazers this year? Alex, you want to throw out a percentage?
I think he stays with the Blazers 100% till the trade deadline. After that, I think it drops to like 20 or 30%.
Tages, what about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you think they're – who would they be more likely to move, McCollum or Powell?
Man, if it was me, I'd be flipping – I think we've had this talk before, but I would be flipping McCollum for some form of power forward, like, I don't know, just anything. Like, I almost feel like if they match up the Sixers and flopped Tobias Harris or CJ McCollum, I think that'd be a trade that benefits both teams, just because I just think that, you know, I think that would suit both teams better. But, you know, that's what I would do. I don't know what your thoughts on that is.
No, I mean, I think that makes sense. I mean, we both are big Ben Simmons fans, and I don't think it's happening. But if they said McCollum for Simmons, you know, I would would sign so quickly on the dotted line if I was Portland's general manager.
Do you believe those trade rumors for Ben Simmons, like the four first round picks and two best players on the, like, do you think those are, do you believe those trades? Because I think they leaked him from four different teams now. So I just seeing those, I feel like it's like a child playing Madden that's just trying to offer dumb trades. Like, I think we all have friends that do that just annoy the hell out of us. Do you believe those trades that you saw popping up? Have you seen those trades pop up? The offers, Tages, for Ben Simmons?
Yeah, no, I've heard the rumors, and some guys, like, you know, Bill Simmons' podcast or something. I think he's very close with Daryl Morey, and so and he seems to really be believing that these are happening. So I do think that they're, you know, it's happening. I don't think it's necessarily a dumb thing as far as, you know, I don't think you know Simmons is under such pressure. I feel like he can't really react, you know, like a normal player with a huge ego, where he's seriously angry with the organization for having your name floated in trade rumors. With, you know, I think he just has probably accepted it and just is trying to work on his jump shot.
I think the best thing that happened to Ben Simmons is Carson Wentz breaking his foot, because it takes all the deflection off of Ben Simmons and puts it on Philadelphia and the ties to the draft pick that they're trying to get for their first round pick for Carson Wentz's broken foot. So it's probably the best thing that's ever happened, Ben Simmons, which is kind of messed up to say, but Philly's just ruthless. The whole city just ruthless for news and media and spinning stories. So let's move on to the Knicks. I don't like what they did, because they essentially brought back the whole team and added, I don't know. Maybe, to me, it's kind of two people that probably aren't the kind of people to put you over the top. Derrick Rose came back 3 years, $43 million, which is great if he goes back to his sixth man. If he goes back to being a starting point guard, I think it's terrible, which shouldn't. Fournier, 4 years, $78 million. Alec Burks came back, and Norland Noel's both came back for 3 years, $30 million-ish. And then they added Kemba Walker with, you know, I think once again, OKC with the genius move of taking on contracts just for picks, and then, you know, they cut him because they don't need him, and, you know, he goes to the Knicks. So, you know, I kind of feel bad for Thibodeau, because I just know he's going to get the most out of his players, and the playoffs are just going to lose in the first round again. So did you guys like the whole haul of what the Knicks did? Alex, did you like what the Knicks did?
You know what? On the surface, I didn't. But when I sit there and think to myself, there wasn't many moves that were going to work. They obviously overachieved this year, and they became a playoff team. And unless they were traded for or going to sign some great superstar, they weren't going to get any better. I don't mind them rolling the dice on Kemba Walker. I think he's kind of injury prone, and him being from the New York area, it kind of tied also to trying to maybe try to get him to sell some tickets a little bit more, even though I don't think they should have. He'd probably sell the tickets at the Madison Square Garden. So the move makes sense theoretically. But I don't like the moves for the simple fact that they really didn't get better. They're kind of one of those teams that kind of stuck where they're at. They obviously got some other things they need to get done, but I'm not looking at them like, okay, now they're in the top four echelon in the East that they're going to be competing for a championship. They're at the middle bottom pack of the East still.
Yeah. And, so I guess my thing, Tejas, I don't know what your thoughts on this is, but if they stay pat with the team they had, because I don't think they can win the championship by adding Fournier and Kemba Walker, but you stick with the team you have, you save the money, and you just hope that next year that you can lure a Harden or Durant or Beal or Westbrook or someone to come be the star of your team. Because I, you know, my opinion was the forward, which is leaving my brain right now. But you know, he should be the number two option. He shouldn't be the number one option on the team. So
yeah, Julius Randle.
Joseph Randle.
Yeah. Thank Julius Randle. So I don't think he's cut out to be number one. Tej, do you prefer that what they did this year by adding 3-year $30 million contracts, 4-year contracts, or just running their team back and trying to go all in on a big free agent next year? What do you think was the better option for them?
So, I mean, what you were saying about is it over that we can have the two or three people come together as, you know, completely open cap space free agency? So instead, are they viewing these contracts as things that can be moved in trades that then, you know, allow them to take on a player? And, you know, that is interesting. But, you know, just in general, you know, I probably prefer, you know, keeping the space and then using, you know, like you said, 26 of 30 teams, you know, are over the cap. So use that space then to take on contracts and assets to then really pitch. And, you know, my plan would be real simple. It would be get Zion Williamson. New Orleans doesn't know what they're doing. I would have a 2 or 3 year plan to, you know, working every way I could so he doesn't sign his rookie max, and you know, like, you know, teams up with his old Duke teammate and let's do this. And so I would get as many assets as I could, and I would keep cap open. You feel bad for Thibodeau, but part of this is, I think, appeasement with Tibbs of Thibodeau, where he wants players that can win now. But it is, you know, I honestly don't think top four, you know, I think they struggle to, you know, even be top eight easily. Like, you know, other teams are going to get better. Randle had the perfect season last year. You know, in general, I just don't think they're a talented roster. And, you know, if they get hit with injuries, teams that, you know, are more up for them and not viewing them as an easy win or something, you know, I think that they could have a very, you know, a brushback season where, you know, I might bet they're under this year. I loved kind of I would view them as an overrated team probably going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have really a lot of injuries or things holding them back. I think they kind of peaked out as good as they could. And they're adding, you know, Walker, who is injury prone, and Fournier, who's just defensive liability, good shooter. But, I mean, the East is getting stacked. I mean, the Knicks, the Heat just added to their team. And the next team here, the Bulls, I think doing better than the Heat in the offseason. I actually think I have the Bulls winning the offseason, contrary to what the delusional Lakers fans are thinking out there. But, you know, Lonzo Ball, I think 4 years, $85 million. And he's only, I think people forget, he's only 23 years old. He's 23 years old, and unlike Ben Simmons, he's actually shown improvement every year on field goal percentage, three-point percentage, free throw percentage. Like, he's actually improving as a player. He plays good defense, you know, not nearly as good as Ben Simmons, but he's a good point guard. They add Alex Caruso, who's just kind of a dog. He, you know, great defense. That's what you're going to get out of him. You're going to get maybe 15, 20 good minutes. And then I think the thing that shocked everyone is, like, hey, let's just add more to it. We're going to add DeMar DeRozan, 3 years, $85 million. So, you guys already know what I think based on the text messages I was spamming out about this stuff. But, you know, what do you guys think about the Bulls' moves? Do you think that they made all the right moves? Because I know some people are questioning the DeRozan addition. Alex, what do you think about the Bulls' moves?
The funny and sad thing, it even goes back to New Orleans. We talk about what we don't know what the heck New Orleans is doing. New Orleans had offered, Lonzo Ball wanted a four, like that same deal from New Orleans last year, And Nolan said, no one in the NBA is going to pay Lonzo Ball that deal. And the first day out of free agency, he gets that deal and more. It's just funny how some franchises, how they operate and what the heck is going on. I think the Bulls have basically put themselves in from being kind of like a borderline lottery team to firmly in the playoffs. I think this is a playoff team. I think they're, especially in the East, the bottom part of the East is terrible. I think they're good enough to make the playoffs with what they've done. I'm not saying DeRozan is going to be the next great thing or anything like that, but I think you got a solid roster of players, solid depth, based off how who they've signed with, even with Alex Caruso. People sleep on Alex Caruso, but I think he's a solid depth player. I think they're firmly, they should be contending in the playoffs next year. I think, like back to say, if we're talking about who goes from being a playoff team or non-playoff team to playoff team, I say the Bulls kind of want it.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy. They still have Lauri Markkanen still on their team. He was originally supposed to be swapped for DeRozan, and they didn't give him up yet. So I think that there's still possibly another trade coming, or if not, you know, that's a great – between Kobe White and Markkanen, that's kind of a great 6 and 7 to have off the bench for that team. And, you know, we're not even talking Patrick Williams, who's, you know, going to take another step next year. So who's forgotten with adding Vucevic in there as their center. So it's an interesting team. You have a lot of 20-point scorers that are going to have to figure out how to play together, and we'll see how it goes. But, man – just that second tier, because that first tier in the East, you know, we obviously got the Bucks, the Sixers, the Nets. But now that second tier, just we got, you know, the Hawks, the Bulls, the Knicks, the Heat, Boston, maybe even. It's going to be kind of a playoffs inside the regular season. Like, you know, are you a little excited about the East and how stacked it is?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's good, and that's why I think if you're the Knicks, you know, you should have been rethinking what you were doing there. Just to pile on New Orleans a little bit, you know, it wasn't just that these guys agreed to pay him. He was restricted. So if New Orleans wanted to match it, they could, you know, he couldn't have gone anywhere, and they still didn't want to do it. And instead, then they panicked and signed Devontae Graham, who's kind of not as good a shooter as Lonzo. He's 5 inches shorter, and they gave up a first round pick in the sign in trade to get Devontae Graham. So it's just like, it's a complete shit show of just what they're doing, man. To just jump back on the Bulls, you know, I definitely, the Lonzo to me was just a home run. I don't know how I feel about DeRozan. You know, I actually, the Thad Young going out in that trade is someone that I actually thought would be pretty helpful. I mean, are the Bulls, are they going to put a lot of minutes in and just play small ball? Are you playing Lonzo, DeRozan, and, LaVine together a lot, Brian?
So I think, because we still have Patrick Williams, who actually got 30 minutes a game last year. So he's going to be at the power forward with Vucevic at center. And if we don't trade Markkanen, Markkanen is technically going to play center and power forward. There has been talks that DeRozan thrived playing, I think, in the four. So I think, you know, between small forward and maybe some small ball, you know, he could even go to power forward at times. I'm not really – I think just Billy Donovan has tons of options now. So I'm not sure we're going to commit to small ball, but – between, you know, the three bigs I mentioned, we have if they can stay healthy, that's, you know, not a bad rotation of bigs to have. Just the only problem is we don't have a lot of rim protection in that group. So, I think Billy Donovan is going to mix it up and kind of see what he has and kind of run with his best lineup. So it's kind of hard to say right now if we're going to go small ball or not. Let's see. Can I pile on to the Pelicans really quickly?
Do it.
I just want to throw out that, you know, yes, the Bulls got Lonzo Ball, but what they got in return, Tomas Satoransky, you know, the guard from the Wizards that came to the Bulls that did nothing. Garrett Temple, who gets traded every year. I think it's free agency starts when Garrett Temple moves onto a new team is kind of the official thing that happens. And a second round pick. So that's all that happened, is essentially the Pelicans took on money and a second round pick to get rid of Lonzo Ball. So it's dumb if you look at it from that perspective also of what they got, because they could have got more for him. And the Pelicans, once again, is the worst nickname of all things in all sports. So, all right, let's move on. The Hawks, retained. They kept John Collins. I think that was one thing that me and Tay just talked about at the end of the year. You know, were they going to be able to keep John Collins? But they locked him up 5 years, $125 million. And Trey Young got 5 years, $207 million. So they locked that core in. So that'll be interesting to see what they do going forward with that core, because I don't think they have any money to work with, but they have a lot of young players locked in on top of some of their injured players that were young injured players last year that didn't really do much. So Hawks could be a dangerous team next year just if they have a fully healthy team.
Yeah, I was a little shocked when I saw that. I was like, I forgot they had Cam Reddish in the playoffs. I was like, Cam Reddish is still on their team? Where did this come from?
Exactly. It's Cam Reddish. And they had another young guy, too, that didn't play a lot, too. I can't remember. I'm just drawing a blank on his name,
DeAndre
too.
Hunter.
Exactly. Yeah, Hunter. Between Hunter and Reddish, like, that's essentially their offseason right there. That's insane. Like, they're adding more talent to that team internally. So, the Hawks are dangerous. They could slowly be pushing themselves into that top tier that I was talking about. I don't know if they're there yet, but they could definitely take that step. They definitely have the right coach now for that team too. He did a phenomenal job. But the Warriors, Alex already talked up. So, he liked their draft pick. Hopefully Klay Thompson comes back healthy. I think we all have been, no matter what you think about the Warriors, I think we all want to see the run of Klay Thompson coming back. James Wiseman being healthy, but I think Steph got a new contract and they just added Otto Porter in a 1 year deal who, when he's not hurt, he's actually a pretty damn good player. So Wizards adding Spencer Dinwiddie to a 3 year, $62 million contract. So they get rid of Russell Westbrook with the additions and get Dinwiddie, who has potential to be a pretty good point guard and maybe a better pairing next to Bradley Beal. What Tejas, did you like that signing? Do you think he's a good fit there?
Yeah, no, I think he's a good player. And Beal seems to be pretty patient with them. And so we'll see if this one last revamp is any good in that. I believe in Kuzma. I think he's someone that can pretty, average 15 a night if he just gets his shots up. And, I like that he spaces. And then, Caldwell Pope is another guy that I thought was really the Lakers with Davis hurt, the Lakers' second best player last year. I think that those are good pieces that'll be very, very different than the Westbrook look that happened this year. And it'll be interesting to see if that team comes together or not. Again, the problem is you're just talking about how deep the East is. So I don't know if that's a playoff, probably not a playoff team, but we'll see.
I think it depends on if we have the are they bringing back the play-in games next year also? Do you guys know that? That's one that I can't find the answer for that.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't officially looked at it, but it's my understanding that it's here to stay.
Which is great. It's crazy because that means you have the Wizards are fighting for the 9 seed. Because I think they're the team that's on the outside. And then whoever's the 10 seed, that could be, I guess, Charlotte maybe is going to be the 10 seed next year. The Pacers, I don't think the Pacers did enough.
I think the Pacers could be good, just getting Rick Carlisle in itself, and then they have all this weird talent, but then who knows who their best player is, just with Brogdon and they had all these LeVert coming back after an injury if he's healthy, and so they have a ton of talent, this does give me an opportunity to make fun of the worst signing that I thought happened in free agency was TJ McConnell to the Pacers for 4 years, $35 million. And it's like, he's a feisty little guy that comes in and, sometimes really runs a nice full court press, but to pay that guy $35 million over 4 years is just crazy. He doesn't shoot threes. He can't go to the rim. He's a bad defender that gets picked on. Those are the three things I look for in a point guard. What do you think about this one, Brian?
I think the only thing that I think about with TJ McConnell is one game a year, he goes off and he wins someone $1 million on DraftKings or something, because he'll have a game where he goes 20 and 15 and then he disappears to 0 points and 7 assists or something like that. I agree. It's such a weird, I don't know. I guess maybe it's just weird, 'cause I think we grew up seeing this contract as being a big contract, and Now this is being like your what, ninth player on the bench or something like that, is getting 4 years, $35 million, something weird. So, or I mean, maybe not ninth on the bench, but your ninth player.
You don't give Rudiger. You're not giving Rudiger a scholarship in Notre Dame.
No. I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. It's, and I think just a couple of the contracts are kind of weird. Like I think Doug McBuckets, as I always call him, but I think he got like 3 years, $42 million. I think he got more money than TJ McConnell. Is just a simply a 3-point shooter that can't do anything else productive, kind of like a bad Kyle Korver. So I think that was another contract that kind of confused me. Let me just name off this one more before I ask these next questions. But the Thunder, despite everything they're doing, getting rid of people, taking on contracts, having 18,000 first round picks, they signed SGA to a 5-year, $172 million contract. Alex, do you think were you shocked that they actually committed to a player to maybe build around? Like, is he the right player to throw that kind of money at, Alex?
He's not the right player, but back to what we were talking about. I mean, OKC doesn't have anything. You got to pay somebody. You got to put some money on the books for assets. If he's an asset, then maybe in a year or two with some of these draft picks you got, maybe you trade the player, you get something a little bit better or something like that. But for a bad franchise right now, I mean, he's basically going to be their one of their top players. So why not pay that guy? If not, you're going to be bad anyway. So you might as well just go ahead, eat the bullet, keep the assets, because right now you're trying to collect assets to be able to go get some talent so you could be able to compete, maybe not this year, but maybe in 2 or 3 years. You've already got some of the picks for some of the trades. You know, you keep a nice asset for like that. Maybe you get lucky in the draft. Maybe you can build something.
Yeah. So just as a whole for the first couple of days, is there a team strictly off free agency and trades? Is there a team, Tejas, that you thought did the best in free agency that you, if you had to pick one team, who do you think did the best in free agency to fit their needs of what they needed to do to improve next year?
I mean, so for me, it's clearly the Heat, and I kind of went into that already. I'll give you another one on the slide too. Is just, I like Denver, kind of quietly getting Jeff Green 2 years, $10 million. Yep. And you know, yep, the big thing is just getting Jamal Murray back. So I think Denver is going to be right there in the mix of everything next year too.
Yeah, I think Denver. You know, I go into next year as it being Denver, well, one in. I don't know. I guess we'll see with Phoenix, but you know, Phoenix, Denver, and the Jazz probably 1, 2, and 3 for me. I'm not fully bought in on the Lakers and Clippers yet, being the best team in the league at least. But Alex, is there a team for you that you thought did the best in free agency with what they did so far?
I'm not going to say a particular team, but I like Patty Mills going to the Nets. I was kind of where did that come from? I thought he was going to be a spur for life, but you know, times change. But I think the Nets, one thing with Nets, they got their core players there. Now it's about how many other players we could put around them to give us a little bit of a depth, because they're definitely going to need it when they get to the playoffs. They've already shown that some of the players are injury prone, so you're going to need players. Especially you talk about with Kyrie, you need a point guard behind him. So Patty Mills kind of coming to that team kind of helps solidify them. I don't know if they're the best team in the East by clear, but I think they're in the top two, top three with that.
The Nets just scare the crap out of me, because we just saw last year how single-handedly Durant almost carried a bunch of average Joes from Global Gym or whatever, like to freaking beating the Bucks, who end up winning everything. Like, that's terrifying to me that they could have two of the three back with, you know, an okay supporting guy. You know, Blake Griffin's coming back, which, you know, he did okay. But
Blake signed for the minimum, and then you know Bruce Brown signed for 1 year, 4.7. So you know they're loaded.
Yeah, it's that actually scares me a little bit that they're able to do all that. Is there a team, Tejas, that you thought did the worst in free agency?
The Knicks. I mean, probably, you know, Noel Fournier, huge money for 3 for 43 for Derrick Rose, you know, Alex Burks. You know, what are you doing?
Yeah. You just let the Pelicans off the hook. I think they appreciate that. Alex, who do you think did the worst in free agency?
You know what? I'm going to give my hometown team the L because they haven't done anything. I'm going to give Grizzlies the L right now. They need to do some things to help their young team out, and they haven't done really anything other than make that trade. And right now, that trade is kind of out to lunch right now. So I'm going to pull a little fanboy on here right now, not to put my analyst hat on. I'm just going to go fanboy right now. I don't know what they're doing right now. They haven't done
anything. Are they in like a small rebuild, do you think?
I think they're – and just reading really, because you obviously have local reporters here to kind of talk to some of the people in the front office. I think their whole thought is make a short step back. Then the next year we'll be able to kind of come back a little bit more harder. But I'm sitting here saying, okay, you tried to save a little bit of money, but I mean, we still got to compete, you know, you got a young roster, but they need some veteran help. I mean, you drafted kind of well, you drafted a lot of young players. I would think they need some veterans. You already just traded your second best player who was a good veteran. You need to sign one or two good veterans who could come in there and help your young roster. But I'm just trying to figure out what are they doing. They're just sitting there. You're a playoff team. You barely got to the playoffs in the eighth seed. You need to do something to get yourself over the hump.
I feel like Crowder was so valuable for you guys.
Yes, he was. They have other young assets there on one-year deals. They can think about doing signs and trade to get rid of those people. You don't need to be 10 deep on a roster.
You got the depth is just incredible with how many really good players you have top to bottom.
Yeah.
Was Jamichael Green on the Grizzlies last year? What team was he on last year?
Jamichael Green.
Was he on the Grizzlies last year?
I don't think he was on the Grizzlies. I think he was on like Clippers or somewhere.
Yeah. I see he signed with the Nuggets. I wasn't sure. Yeah. I was just looking at the Nuggets with bringing back Rivers and Barton, you know, a healthy Barton maybe. So, yeah, it's kind of – but, yeah, for – so I guess for me, I'm just going to throw this out there. I thought the team that did the worst was the Lakers, which I know is going to cause a lot of people to disagree with me. And I just – you know, I don't understand having that many old people on a team where you have to rely on your knees – for jumping, with how many injury prone people they have on that team, with Anthony Davis being hurt. LeBron even admitted he will never be 100% again for the rest of his career. Okay, well, that's another issue. Trevor Ariza was not good last year. Dwight Howard, I don't know why they're bringing him back, but they essentially swapped Drummond and Howard without an actual trade. Carmelo Anthony is 37 years old. Their starting shooting guard next year is Wayne Ellington. Not really sure about that. So, I mean, you know, they may not be the worst one, but I mentioned them just because I want to talk about it. Tejas, a lot of people out there are defending the Lakers, saying that it's the right thing. Do you think that this team is built the right way? Or do you think they should have maybe ran it back with the players they had last year and try to add a couple, one or two complementary pieces? Because to me, I think, you know, having Caruso, Tucker, KCP, even Kuzma, I think keeping all those players and letting everyone be healthy for a year and adding one or two more pieces would have been the better move than what they did this year. What to you, which one do you think would have been the better move with those of those options?
Yeah, no, I think the better move would have been not signing Westbrook and doing KCP, Caruso, and some other, you know, good combination of veterans that would, you know, come cheap to the team, but still want some money instead of minimums. So, you know, that's the way I certainly would have gone, but they decided to make the big splash. I do, in terms of your kind of like old person thing, I guess maybe having the guy like Westbrook that's going to run up and down the court and take all the shots for you is kind of the good old man move now. Like if I'm trying to play pickup and there's a guy out there like with Westbrook, I'm saying, you know, maybe trying to get on his team so I can don't have to expend any energy. But, yeah. You know, to the people, they signed Taylor and Horton Tucker.
You know, 3 years,
30 million. Yeah. But, and Lakers fans love them and are all excited about this. But that, I think Westbrook is more so than anyone in terms of who he will kill is Talen Horton-Tucker, because Talen Horton-Tucker, you know, likes to play make, likes to handle a little bit. You know, that is never going to happen with Russell Westbrook. You know, maybe Westbrook will defer a little bit to LeBron and Davis, but there will be a Talen Horton-Tucker will not be putting up stats this year.
Yeah, and the one thing I want to throw out with this is with Russell Westbrook. So there's a way to, you know, in baseball, you have war, in like hockey, you have other metrics to measure how good people are. In basketball, they do have war, but the thing that more so look at is player efficiency rating, like a PER, which is kind of values how good they are offensively. It's not very accurate defensively. So I looked up how well Russell Westbrook was rated in the league. So bringing him in, a player that should be efficient for your team, you think Westbrook would be a top 15? Like, I would assume he'd be a top 15 player. Alex, do you want to guess where he is, like in the ranking between 1 and 100?
Well, he turns the ball over, so I wouldn't think he would be a top 10 as much as that. I'd say he'd be somewhere around 23,
24. Tejas, you want to take a guess?
So, what's the stat we're talking about here?
So this is called PER. Player efficiency rating, PER. It's essentially the way to evaluate how valuable a player is to their team.
I know Giannis is like the top best or whatever, or the best of all time.
Yeah, Giannis is very high up there. So
I'd say like 30s or 40s.
Yeah, so he's worse than all this, which is, you know, I love asking this question just to make it seem worse than what he really is. So his rating, you know, which won't mean anything if I tell you guys, but what I will say is that he's the 56th ranked player in PER. So that's how valuable he is to his team when he plays with the team. I think last year the highest was the Joker was actually the highest rated, followed by Embiid and Giannis by a lot. So you have them up there. LeBron was 16, so you know, to me that makes sense. And it's weird because then you have Bulls, like you have DeRozan 27, LaVine 30, Vucevic 20, but Westbrook is all the way down to like 56. So you're adding in this player that you're saying is going to catapult your team to the next level, but he's rated as a player that is actually not that great. We've seen him, you know, be the sidekick, if you will, to a lot of good players, and it just hasn't worked. So I'm not really sure that, you know, that's, you know, I'm just trying to find a way where he brings value. And at the same time, he's going to go after every rebound. Like, how is Anthony Davis going to really just take a back seat to while he's jumping in on rebounds when he should be doing something else? I just think that's a really weird dynamic to have.
I'd say, I mean, here's the flip side is, you know, I never thought Dwight Howard would be someone that would just accept playing defense and rebounding. And when he got to the Lakers, he did. So maybe there's the LeBron clutch magic or something that says, hey, don't take pull up threes. You're terrible at that. Instead, just use your hustle, cut, you know, play hard and aggressive and, you know, get to the rim. And, you know, because what's always just drove, I think, people nuts when we've watched Westbrook is the talents there. And, you know, there's just little more intelligent things he can do that would so drastically improve his efficiency that, you know, it seems like it's tangible things that he could do. And it's just never happened in his career. But, you know, it always seemed possible. And that's what drove us nuts about him.
Is there a player on this new Lakers team that can actually be trusted to hit threes? Because that's Malik Monk. I feel like if you're using Malik Monk, that's setting yourself up to fail. Like, I don't know.
I believe there's going to be a chance in the playoffs in some random game that the Carmelo is good to go off on. And that's basically all you can expect from him. I don't expect him to do anything in a regular season. I expect like some weird game, like a game three. Yeah. It's like, holy crap, Carmelo. Like
Melo 40 and all the announcers saying, you counted out Melo.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be the feel-good story of the playoff for like that first 2 days, and then that's it.
And then the next one of 10, next game. Yeah. Wayne Ellington would be the other guy that I think they kind of just on the sly, I think might be pretty good for them. And actually, yeah. Kendrick Nunn was one of these sneaky little signings too for the Lakers.
I know. I actually did. I did like the Nunn. You know, he had moments in Miami where he played phenomenal. And I don't think he ever got a really good chance in Miami to actually be a full-time player or to have like a real chance. So I'm curious to see what his role is going to be there, kind of carving out minutes behind Westbrook, or who knows what kind of rotation they're going to run. But
Hey, Brian, let me take a step forward with what you just said. I personally think they could have gave up exactly what they gave up for Westbrook and done it for DeRozan, and I thought they would be a better team for it.
Yeah. I think the one thing for me, I think what we talked about before was they needed like a true point guard for that team to be successful, and you had options out there with Kyle Lowry. I want to say that he was involved in a signed trade for Goran Dragic. I think. So, I mean, if all they're doing is swapping locations, like why wouldn't Lowry want to go to the Lakers, you know, to be the guy to run the offense? You know, I think we saw how valuable Chris Paul was to a team. And I think Kyle Lowry may be one of the few point guards that could be not in the same realm as Chris Paul, but that could run a point guard position the way a team needs to be ran. And I think Westbrook is not going to do that for you. He's going to do a lot of crazy stuff and have a lot of stats. And it's just, I just, it's hard to vision it happening properly. So.
Yeah. I would even took Mike Conley over him. 100%. I think Mike Conley would have been a better fit for them than Westbrook.
I would even go one step farther and was wondering if Kemba would be a better fit. maybe that's a leap too far, but at least he can shoot.
I think 3 years ago, Kemba, I would be all for before his injury. I think that would have been a good move. But yeah, they need, I don't know if Westbrook is the right ball handler to have on that team. All right, let's close this out with one last question. Kawhi is saying that he's going to return to the Clippers. The contract's not done yet, and from what I read, he was going to still go around and meet with teams. Unless you guys have heard anything different, if that's true, do you think he's a lock to about the Clippers, or do you think anything weird is going to happen? Because I don't think anyone has money to sign him now, so I feel like he has to go back to the Clippers. So do you think there's anything weird that would happen to stop him from going back?
Yeah, I think the league thinks it's a lock. And so I had never heard that he was shopping or anything. You know, Reggie Jackson's probably the second best, and I think it's just all based on they're waiting for Kawhi's terms to finish so that they can get Jackson done too. But, you know, I don't think Kawhi's going anywhere. I do think maybe Jackson could be pried by some other team. Like I heard rumors for him in Boston or some other things. But, you know, I don't think Kawhi's going anywhere.
I think what I've kind of heard, and it's kind of why LeBron and the Kawhis of the world are do kind of like a two-year deal with one of the years being kind of a player option. It's their way of kind of putting pressure on the franchises to kind of do something in free agency. I know LeBron used to do that for the Cavs right before he left to kind of do like these 1 year, you know, deals with the player option, you know, to hit free agency, kind of wait out there. So I wouldn't be surprised if Kawhi kind of opted out to kind of see if the Clippers are going to do anything to kind of make the team better. I don't know there's too much they can do right now other than re-signing Reggie Jackson. Maybe they can make some trades and can get some better players or certain other positions. Maybe can get something done, but that's kind of what I took why he kind of did the 2 year deal with them with the, or the technically the 2 year deal plus the one player option. So I've kind of heard that he's probably going to do the same thing again. Because if he does a 5 year deal this year, I think he does a 5 year, it'd be like a 5 year, $172 million contract if he does the full max. But if he does the 1 year player, you know, 1 year player with the player option and opts out again next year, I think he can get like a 5 year, $200+ million contract. So, you know, he was going to opt out to kind of get a better deal for next year. But if he's shopping around, it's news to me. It wouldn't shock me because, you know, I mean, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, if there's no loyalty with players that much anymore. So I wouldn't be shocked one bit if he's shopping himself around.
I'm gonna end all this on one note just to kind of just being annoying about the Lakers. Wayne Ellington, career three-point percentage, 38%. Not that great. Carmelo, 35% three-point range percentage. And Malik Monk, last year shot 40%, but he's a 33. He shoots 33% for his career. So I don't know if Malik Monk, you know, figured it out over the offseason 1 year where he can shoot at a 40% clip. But if he regresses back to what he was the year before, he shot a 28% clip the year before that. So I'm just going back to the Lakers. I'm
I'm rooting against the Lakers too, but man, you got that LeBron space now, man. You got an extra 2 seconds to load up that shot.
Oh, he's 37. He's got a cane. He can't separate anymore. So we'll see. I just love crapping on it just to get people's reactions. But, you know, the Lakers obviously will be a dangerous team. There's no doubt about that. They won't be a dangerous team. It's just a matter of, will they be the one seed next year or will they be between 1 and 4? I think is kind of how I view the Lakers. And I think there's a big difference in the matchups that you want to avoid being the 4 compared to the 1. And I think we saw that stuff kind of last year. So we'll break down more of the Lakers and more of these other teams though in this upcoming podcast. We'll give actual full team reviews and actually grade them out and see how, and kind of, you know, what we think of how they're going to be, you know. So I obviously don't think the Lakers are going to be in the 8 seed again or anything like that. I think they just had a lot of weird injuries for long periods of time last year that definitely crippled them. So, all right. So, thanks for joining us for this one. We'll definitely have another one with you guys back on. So, Tejas and Alex, thank you. Alex, any closing comments where you sign off here?
If I could get a meme that everyone can look at, I'm poking my Memphis Grizzlies, telling them, come on, do something. Please do something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird because when you look at the transaction log, every team has made a signing except for the Grizzlies. It's really sad that he's spot on with that. Tejas, any last remarks?
Nah, just next pod, we got to do Ben Simmons trades. I'm working Definitely. On him every day, just like Daryl.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I guess if he's going to throw out ridiculous trades, why not us? I guess we have the right to do that also. So, all right. Thanks for listening, guys. That's episode 28 with us, Sports Talk 4 fans by fans. And please check us out on our Facebook page and join in on interaction, polls, questions. We just definitely want to hear your input. So please help share, listen, subscribe, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. I think the next one, me and Alex are going to talk NFC West, and then we'll get back NFC West for obviously football. And then we'll go back and talk basketball in the next podcast. So thanks for listening, guys, and have a good one.